All right, people, first episode of Meliora Mindset. Really excited to start getting this out to you guys. First episode we got here is Ed Gamble. He is a personal training client, an athlete at the gym that I currently coach at, and a professor at the university here at MSU. Yeah, he's just a really good friend. We have a really good conversation about mindset, and he does a lot to bring a more academic view of mindset. So hope you enjoy it. Something else to keep your eyes out for is soon my online programming business will be launching. That is going to be built around programming for athletes reaching their specific goals, and they will just be options for everybody. So keep your eyes on that, and I will keep you informed as I get closer. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Meliora Mindset, episode one, but actually recording number two with Ed Gamble, a good friend and a current client of mine. I'm sure he has something to say about it being the second recording of this.
I like how you got ahead of that one, because yes, it was coming.
Well, I just felt like I had to get it out of the way before you had your shot.
Yep, good call.
So, like I said, Ed is a really good friend of mine and a current personal training client and just someone I really respect. I find semi-smart, that has a lot of good things to say once in a while. So I decided to ask him here for the first episode, second recording. Anyway, so just to get to know a little bit about Ed, how about you share with us what you do?
Sure.
How you got to this place in life?
This place in life. So I am an accounting and tax professor at the university here, Montana State University. Moved from Ireland as a kid, grew up in Canada, and then my wife and I moved down to Montana 5 years ago, maybe six now. And this is my second year in CrossFit. So 2 years ago, I started CrossFit.
In July?
It was about July-ish,
okay.
I think, 2 years ago. And when did I meet you? It wasn't right away, because you came to the game a little bit late, right?
Yeah, so I came here to highlight November of 2017.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Uh-huh. And yep. Then I started coaching that March of 18. So I've been coaching here for, coming up on a year and a half, maybe?
Yeah. You're doing a good job.
And I love it.
Yeah, you're a pretty amazing coach.
Well, I appreciate that.
And you're a good friend,
that.
Too. I value our friendship.
I appreciate that.
And
I
I'm really proud of you for starting this company called Meliora.
Meliora.
Which means... I still don't understand. What is the... Because it has something to do with, like, Latin.
So
Greek,
it's Latin.
French. Is it French-Canadian?
No, it's not. That's... No. So it's actually Latin. The definition is ever better, but more fully it means the pursuit of the better. And I appreciate that. That question, because this first episode, as we talked about last week, is about mindset and what does Meliora Mindset mean, and we're gonna hash that out again.
I like that a lot.
Today. Yeah.
Are you gonna have t-shirts?
I am. I'm planning on, I don't know when. I've got a lot of designs actually. Some floral pattern. I love floral patterns, but it'll be simple.
Yeah.
And I'll probably do there's some companies that I think are really smart doing like launches and not sitting on inventory all the time, because that's not essentially the basis of my business. It's online coaching. So that's my hope, is that it would be like launches once in a while, maybe 2-3 times a year. I would get new styles of shirts and pants or whatever, and that would be like a limited time.
I like thing. It.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of self-serving question in a way, because really I wouldn't mind buying one.
Sure. I appreciate that after your Ed Gamble hat conversation.
Exactly.
Anyway, so let's talk about your athletic past.
Okay.
And how you got to CrossFit, what that looked like in school.
Sure.
Your basketball years, your rowing years.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Walk me through that in detail.
Two amazing parents who always supported sports.
Mm-hmm.
Played a ton of sports as a kid. Some better than others. But everything from like racket sports to swimming to running to basketball, the whole shebang. And for a vast majority of my life, I've been you know, reasonably successful at sports, but have always been super fascinated with trying new things. So, you know, a while back I was rowing a fair bit, and I was very lucky because physiologically I'm a pretty tall guy. I'm like an ideal weight for it. I got long arms. That's a super fun sport.
Rowing.
Yeah.
Which is funny is like, I imagine this CrossFit, and my goal is that a lot of CrossFitters would be listening to this.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people just scoffed at you.
I know. It's
for CrossFitters hate rowing.
There's something soothing about, no, granted, I did train a lot on the erg.
Yeah.
But on the water, I mean, they're both interesting, right? Because in rowing, to make like a national level rowing program, I think you have to be somewhere around, so they do a 2K test, a 2K erg test, and you have to be somewhere around 6 minutes. I mean, it depends. Like the US would be, you know, high fives, maybe Canada, maybe, you know, low sixes. That's so fun in terms of like rowing times. Because it's, you know,
so just, for a 2K holding a 130, 500 split.
Yeah, I mean, you go up and down, but it, you know, somewhere between like a 130, 131, 135. I mean, people have different strategies. So that's fun, right? Because it's like instant feedback. It's actually, in a lot of ways, it's like doing Olympic lifting. Instant feedback. You either nailed it or you did.
Yeah.
Right? And it's, I not, mean, it's not like you have to wait half an hour to figure out what the results are.
No.
You see it right in front of your face. It's instant feedback. There's something beauty about that. And I like that on the erg test, and it's like, it's only you, right? I mean, you're competing against other people for national scores or whatever it is, but you're the only person who can determine the outcome.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. And I think there's a lot of that in CrossFit too. Now, granted, there's team competitions and—
Absolutely.
But when I see people put their scores in, I have to admit, I don't always do that myself. In fact, I almost never do that.
Yeah.
It's an individual score.
It is.
There's something really nice about that, and it's, the feedback's clear. How many times did I do that? What was the weight? So I think maybe that's probably one of the reasons I see this, some parallels between rowing and CrossFit. On the water, it's like unbelievably peaceful, though.
I imagine so.
Oh my gosh.
That's my one thing about rowing like a long distance, is I just find it so boring. And yeah. I imagine I would feel different if it was out at Highlight or something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's so peaceful. You see like the water just moving away from you, and it's quiet. It's usually pretty early in the morning.
Yeah.
Janet describes her swimming years. So, I mean, for those who don't know Janet, she swam in the Sydney Olympics. When she swam, there's something she said that was very peaceful about it.
Hmm.
You know, you're moving the water away from you. So I suspect it's something similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the executive summary is, my sporting life has been quite varied. I've been very lucky to have the opportunities to play sports. And, you know, things like rowing, there's some sports I'm really convinced translate over into just like a plethora of other things in life, which I think is the reason I love CrossFit.
Yeah.
Because I'm somewhat competitive. I'm competitive when like my friends are in the gym and, you know, the guys are having a laugh and stuff. But it is unbelievably functional in nature.
Yes.
These skills, like I notice, you know, I'm over 40 now, and I find that a lot of these movements are extremely helpful to my day-to-day activities. That is something I can't say from a lot of other sports.
How and what way? What are you seeing?
Well,
since you started CrossFit.
So, I mean, okay, so this is the phrase I use a lot when I talk with other people about CrossFit. I wish as a kid I had learned about CrossFit. Now, granted, it wasn't around, right? I'm a dinosaur, so this wasn't around way back when.
Not CrossFit as it's today,
as it
but, there's a,
is.
There's
some other training. Olympic lifting.
Interval weight training is probably the closest thing, exactly. And that's like in the 70s.
Right. So that is about my time. The things I talk about with CrossFit is that it is this unbelievably cool blend of strength, flexibility, dynamic movements, endurance. Like, it's all these things that together make for a pretty well-rounded athlete. And I admire people who specialize in one thing. I think that's great. But this is one of those sort of, I don't know if it's like, would you constitute a sport?
I would, yes.
Would it? Okay,
so I consider CrossFit a sport.
Okay.
Even though, like, it's, if we want to make fun of it, all you're doing is exercising fast, really.
Yeah, I mean, that is one part. There's exercising fast. I mean, the flexibility has been, the focus on flexibility for me has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you remember when I started off, you know, like my heels kept on coming off the floor on movements, and you know, the, you know, my back wasn't in a straight line. And that's something I really value about, you know, the way you coach.
Yeah.
You care a lot about, you know, one's physiology. We're all a little bit different, but sort of, you know, watching the movement, watching the skill, and saying, okay, so I think this is kind of a hindering point, and if you took a little control of this, I bet you'd see big gains. Mm-hmm. You know, 9 times out of 10, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just the concept of virtuosity, right? Is performing the common and commonly well. Like
sounds,
the little...
Sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds smart.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. So it just is, you know, it's all part of a machine, and if one's broken, we're limited by that, right?
Yeah, right. There's like limiting factors, mm-hmm. right? And if you have a limiting factor, I mean, why wouldn't you work on that one?
Yeah. So, cool. I want to obviously talk about mindset. This is the first episode.
Okay.
This is developing the, I don't even know what to say, the atmosphere for what I want this podcast to be.
Sure.
Not necessarily specific to fitness, but I want to have people on this podcast that are experienced and wise physically, mentally, spiritually. I just want to have all that kind of, that mindset of being better in all aspects of your life, not just the gym, right?
Sure.
So talking about mindset, you had mentioned when we first started that you are not, no, that was on the 5-minute game, wasn't it? So you had said that we had played a game before this where I was asking you had questions, and he had said that if he could instill something to anyone in his life currently, that he would instill hard work. And I asked him why, and he said...
Well, I think hard work outweighs raw talent.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't, I think it's more admirable.
Yes, I agree.
And you know, I've never been unbelievably gifted at anything, but I like working hard. I mean, for the most part. I mean, there's probably some argument that, you know, in the gym, I don't always work as hard as I could. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm here for functional purposes. I'm also here for the social atmosphere. I mean, this gym is phenomenal. The people who work out here. So I think hard work with limits.
Yes, absolutely. So what does that look like, having this mindset of hard work? What does it look like for you? And then we can get into the broader concept of it.
So why don't I talk about my 3 points? Like the 3 things that I think drive a pretty good mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think they're generic enough that they apply to most things, not just CrossFit. Mm-hmm. But I think they really do apply to CrossFit as much as others. So the 3 things we talked about on the last podcast, which we'll talk about again.
Yeah, because I couldn't
exactly.
Say that.
I had to get that in there.
Technology.
Is self-efficacy, locus of control, and growth mindset. Now, I know these are kind of academic-y terms, but there's a lot of truth to them, I think. So self-efficacy essentially means that you believe you have the skills to accomplish something. Locus of control, in its broadest context, means you believe that you have control of the outcomes. And growth mindset, as we talked about at length last time, was, you know, this belief in this, or this willingness to fail in hopes of becoming a little bit better version of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you go into something and you're not deterred very easily. Mm-hmm. And between the 3 of those, this, you know, self-efficacy, locus of control, and this growth mindset, which are all highly researched topics, you know, they're psychology-based. I'm an accounting and tax professor. But I'm aware enough of them that I see the merit in their empirical significance, and that people have demonstrated this before, that these are absolute, you know, they're not truisms, but they're pretty darn close.
Yeah.
And between this idea of, like, I think I have the skills to do something, I have control over the outcomes, and I'm willing to try to grow a little bit here. I'm going to fail in the process, but I'm probably going to grow. That actually has been pretty much my mantra for most things I do, and no different in CrossFit.
Mm-hmm. So the growth mindset, how do you say your last name? Carol DeWick?
Some version of that, I think.
DeWick.
Yeah, I'd hate to. I'm not going to pronounce it.
Sorry.
Because I'm likely to pronounce it wrong. Sorry. In which case, I'm on record.
Sorry, Carol. But she's mostly talking about just intelligence, right? I'm seeing a lot of this growth mindset coming up for, like, the school system, mostly, in my experience. And then also, I'm seeing a lot, I think Ben Bergeron, I could be wrong with this as well, but this is how he talks about coaching Katrin, David's daughter.
Okay.
And coaching his athletes a lot too, which I think easily applies to not only like strictly intelligence,
yeah.
like Carol talks about it, I think, but also like other areas of your life.
Totally.
And that's what I'm curious about is locus of control and self-efficacy.
Yeah.
Is that a framework that Carol has built as well, or is that something that others have like built on top of as well?
I think this predates the growth mindset. I could be wrong. However, part of me believes that they're all somewhat interchangeable, or mm-hmm. if not, they overlap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had a Venn diagram with three circles, they would all overlap in some way or form, would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not my research area, but I think that there's some truth in the fact that between those three, imagine if you had somebody who had that vision of working out. They had that vision of working out where they said, you know, I think I've got the skills to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I have control of the outcomes. And for any of the skills and control that I don't have, I'm willing to accept that I'm going to fail a couple times. But gosh darn it, I'm going to get good at this.
Yeah.
Between those three, that mindset seems like the one that I was describing earlier, which is the person who's just going to work hard. They're saying, gosh darn it, I'm going to fail, but I'm going to take it on the chin and I'm going to keep on going.
Hmm.
But I think for the most part, I have control of these outcomes. And in large part, I think I've got the skills to get this done.
Yeah.
That's such a nice elixir in my view. It's just intoxicating to think that people would be that oriented in their mind all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely not. But it is an overriding belief that I have.
Yeah.
And I try to implement it. Not always successfully, though.
Of course. When you talk about those being your mantras, what does that look like? Does that just mean, like, reflecting on it in the midst of failure? Or, like, even in success? Or every day when you say, like, these are my mantras, like, what does that mean for you?
I don't know in terms of mantras, but when you and I were working together, so I'd like to talk about the things that you and I wasn't convinced that I could do the powerlifting move called the snatch mm-hmm. extremely well. I wasn't convinced. I said, you know, I've got the general skills to be able to do it, but I'm gonna have to seek some help.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you come in. It's like, what I don't have in skill, I can make up from learning from somebody else. I'm willing. I mean, you saw me drop the bar a bunch of times, trying my best to actually learn how to do this movement, or even the handstand walk. Those are the two things.
Yeah.
So my sort of mantras with you was, I'm going to learn how to handstand walk, and I'm going to learn how to do the snatch powerlifting move.
Yes.
And I have the skills to do it. I think I've controlled the outcomes. It's not easy. And as you've seen with my handstand walk, there's been multiple failures, some of which have ended up in me whacking you in the face with my foot.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
The most recent one, I think, was the closest.
About fucking killed me the last time.
Like, Nick's going to have a few less teeth.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's fun. Like, I'm okay. I'm totally okay failing at something.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get good at it.
So speaking of, like, what we're working on, what are your goals with those? I mean, obviously, I know those goals from when we started working together, but
I mean, I'd like to be able to handstand walk in a comfortable fashion, you know, a fair portion of the rig.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tough one, but I'm down with that. That's mm-hmm. okay. You know, I'm like 6'4", 215 pounds. Maybe not the ideal frame, but it's totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally doable. And with the snatch, I'd love to be able to push 200, you know, simply because I think that is, I mean, it is a totally arbitrary number.
Yeah.
But I also am aware of, you know, like, extremely good athletes in this gym, like Eric Anacone, who...
I mean, he
can lift 200, right?
Yeah.
Has he cracked 200?
He actually PR'd the other day. He PR'd by 1 pound. He did 201 pounds.
Congratulations, Eric. That's amazing. But, you know, I see these sort of, you know, little marks. And, you know, if I don't get to 201 like Eric, because I'm not as much of a specimen as he is, I'll survive.
He does look pretty good with his shirt off.
Yeah, I try not to judge.
It's hard not to.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So what is that, talking about this mindset, what does that look like when we're working together and possibly something doesn't go the way that you would hope, if that makes sense? Are you following what I'm asking? Like, what happens when you are, like, wanting to, for instance, do your handstand walk, and you said, like, this is the goal, and we're struggling to reach that like distance. Mm-hmm. How does this play in practically for that session that we have?
I'm a big fan of little wins. Mm-hmm. So both with handstand walks. In fact, I was doing it today, this morning, the workout in your pump town, just practicing the handstands and being stacked properly.
I was watching you and I was really impressed.
I mean, so those little wins, so they're little cues that you give me. And I think people don't really value coaching in the way I think they should, in the sense that coaches are able to see like little components of an exercise. They're able to break things down to the simplest little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
It's like eating a steak. Nobody's going to throw the whole steak in their mouth. You've got to cut it in small little pieces. And you was a terrible example, but
yeah, I was thinking in my head that analogy breaks down.
But at the same time, though, like, you know, breaking things down into little component parts, mm-hmm. you get little wins, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm able to, you know, we were doing like shoulder touches or like, you know, lifting your hands off the ground or stacking properly. Mm-hmm. And for me, I get a lot of joy out of that. And I know I do because I go home and Jan's like, hey, how'd it go with Nick today? And it was like, oh, this is great. You know, I learned something new. With the handstand walks, make sure I'm stacking properly, make sure my eyes are in the right spot.
Yeah.
And with the snatch, you know, the one day we worked at just like the beginning part of the drive. Mm-hmm. And after we were doing those exercises, I was like, oh my gosh, I never would have thought that, you know, that 12 inches from the ground to that first spot is actually really important.
Yeah.
Almost to the point where you can tell right away whether somebody's going to hit the
ground
lift or
the
not.
Knee. Yeah,
that's it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And that is a little win in my head. So next time I go to the bar, I'm actually thinking about that, you know, ground a knee or ground a 12 inches and like thinking ball. Very carefully about each of the cues you've given me.
Yeah.
That's where I think coaching is really valuable.
Yeah.
It's like the little skills. So I talked earlier about like the atmosphere at the CrossFit gym here. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. Well, but I also talk about the technical skill of the coaches, very undervalued in my opinion. The coaches at this gym, they know the movements. They're thoughtful with their cues, mm-hmm. and they're very personalized.
Yeah.
That, for me, is worth every dime I pay.
Yeah. I know it's been interesting because I'm going through a mentorship, the Strong Coach, obviously, and we're just talking about mantras and everything and kind of creating that mindset for yourself. Part of the first part of the course was journaling your perfect day, mm-hmm. then writing goals in a my goal is blank because blank. And in that because part of my goal, you can distill really powerful mantras. Some of mine are like, I am complete. I influence the world. And creating that, having control of your, believing you have control of your outcomes.
Locus of control.
Yeah. I feel like this lines up really well just with what I'm doing because it just gives you that utility. And I think there's something just really powerful about looking at those mantras every day and even something like with growth mindset, like looking at these mantras that you can build and tell yourself every day, say, I am complete, and breathe into that has been really powerful. And I honestly don't remember why I got on that topic.
In a lot of ways, you know, those mechanisms that you described are indeed self-efficacy, locus of control, and growth mindset.
Exactly.
I think that's what you're trying to get at, which is you do these mantras every day. Those mechanisms are reinforcing mechanisms mm-hmm. of you believe you have the skill set to do something, you believe you have control of your outcomes, and the things that you're not quite yet dialed, you believe you can actually do. You're going to grow into that as a person or as an athlete or whatever.
Yeah.
I marvel in that. I mean, that is those three things, extremely powerful. And how you deliver on that, whether it's with mantras or with, you know, your mindset when you come into the gym or it's how you engage with other people. I mean, it's all very relative, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
And that's what I hope this podcast, to be honestly, this is part of that goal setting process. The reason that we're even sitting here telling myself these mantras, some of the things that are happening with a personal like coaching business were years ahead in my head before I started this mentorship.
Sure.
And this is a 12-week membership. We're on like week seven. And even recording into this fancy mic that you coerced me into buying, this was 5 years ahead of what I had planned. So these concepts are really powerful. And what I hope, again, to bring around is I just hope that this podcast is, you know, information that people need to hear, that they can give them control of their mindset and to be able to better themselves in and out of the gym.
Yeah. And I think you're the ideal person to deliver on this for a bunch of reasons. One, you have technical knowledge. That technical knowledge, it takes years to accumulate. And you're willing to share that in a very kind way with other people. That's a skill that I admire a lot. I also admire your skill to commit. I mean, you committed to this this line of work so much so that you basically said, I'm handing in my notice. If I'm going to do this well, I have to commit to it. Mm-hmm. I believe I have the skills to do this. I believe I have control of my outcomes. I'm willing to grow. And if those are true, drop the hammer on current employment, walk away, and commit. And you did.
Yeah.
That's another thing I admire about you. So other than your technical knowledge, which you relay in a kind way, you're willing to commit to something.
Yeah.
You don't sit on the fence.
It's scary. I've honestly, you know, what he's talking about is I quit serving. Well, I'm in the process. My last day will be August 12th. And through this mentorship process, I was talking to my mentor and talking about all the ideas that I have for business and a podcast and how I could just help people be better versions of themselves. And he had just pushed me and said, I think you should be done serving as soon as possible. And he's like, I don't
want... He mean who? The coach, not me.
I only convinced you
to buy the microphone. I didn't convince you to quit your job.
My mentor, Eric, who I have really grown to appreciate his pushbacks in my life so far. But he just said, I don't want to push you too soon to something, but you have really low barriers for stopping. I think you should do it as soon as possible. And I just walked into that day, opening bar, had no intention of quitting. And I was opening and I was like, man, this isn't fulfilling. I've thought this for a long time. What I do for people is feed them food and the next day they shit it out. I don't feel fulfilled by that. And especially because of my own personality, I desire autonomy in my life. And the fact that these people are just in control of everything I do for that 5 hours just crushes my soul.
Mm.
So I opened the bar. We were about to open the doors to serve and I said, I'm done. I said, Josh, who is my manager, I was like, I'm done in a month. That'll be August 12th. And here we are.
I like the way you commit to things.
Well, I appreciate that.
I think that should be our next podcast. Propensity to act.
Propensity to act.
I think that'd be a cool podcast.
Stop thinking and start doing. Don't confuse the two.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think it should.
But the thing is, I mean, you've just got this fountain of knowledge here at the gym. People who have such different skill sets. I mean, you just like start ripping off. I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I think Janet is like the most super person in the world. Yeah.
His wife.
There's, you know, people who know about like gymnastics. There's people who know about dietetics. There's people who know about nutrition, which as it turns out are different things. There's people who...
And Janet can tell us all about
well,
that.
Well, she can. And, you know, I mean, there's people here, like we got massage therapists, mm-hmm. we have entrepreneurs, people who've started businesses, mm-hmm. we have the owner of the gym, Brittany. I mean, there's so many cool, amazingly skilled people in this gym.
Yeah,
I think you could basically run a podcast business just on the interesting people in this gym.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really lucky for the community we have here.
We are. Very, very blessed.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for meeting me again, friend, for the second recording of this.
My pleasure. I appreciate you.
If people want to learn more about what you do in accounting, which I'm sure every single person that listens to this...
Doesn't that sound riveting?
Every single person that listens to this is going to want to follow that, but I'm sure there are some.
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
www.edwardgamble.com.
It's a pretty fancy website.
It's not really that fancy, is it?
And you're super handsome as compared to like how you look now.
Right, like I have the posh Ed haircut.
Yeah, like a
and
suit.
Now I look like I just rolled out of a dumpster.
I was looking at some of the pictures from the competition last year, the Battle for Quiet Waters. Have you cut it since then? Or have you been growing this for about a year?
Oh.
There's some pictures of you like over on the bike on the wall with like kind of short hair. And I was wondering, has he not cut his hair since last year?
I have cut my hair, but it's more a function of Janet saying, Ed, I think it's time to, you know, take control of that a little bit. So we find the middle ground, which is I clean it up.
What does that entail?
I'm not 100% sure. I think I just donate money into the bin of the person who cuts my hair.
Yeah.
and then we call it good.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you've had a haircut in the last couple months, and I can't tell.
That's entirely possible.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks so much, Nick.
Well, I appreciate you.